Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
WGN. John Landecker at 8:35. Okay, that's supposed to be a representation of vinyl, right? You drop the needle. Because this is a segment called Great Moments in Vinyl. Yet, it's not really about vinyl. It's about performing albums that originally appeared on vinyl. And we have Lindsay Cochran, who is with GreatMomentsInVinyl.com. Good evening, Lindsay. How are you?
John, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. I think you and I were on the phone about, I think you were working at some other radio station at the time, and I was calling into something called the Boogie Check.
Oh, no, not that. Not that.
Yeah, I was talking college days for me.
Oh, wow. Where'd you go to school?
Northwestern. I was at Northwestern, and a big fan of radio. Worked at the campus radio station there, and then graduated, got a career in radio in Chicago. But I'm thrilled to be chatting with you now.
Well, thank you. I love this concept that you've come up with.
You know what? I mean, we're just music geeks. We're just a band. I say a band. It's me and then whatever musicians I hire for whatever show we're doing. That's how I can get really good players. For example, we've got an Elvis Costello show coming up this weekend, and I find the guys who want to play Elvis Costello, and that's what we do. But we've done tons of albums, R.E.M., Kate Bush, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, Beatles, you name it.
You do a live performance of an entire album.
Yes, and we try to be respectful of the music. We try not to so much try to replicate it and get every nuance down, but we try to make it a live, fun experience. And if I do have to hire a trumpet player or a violinist to make things work right, we'll do that. But generally, I just find some good musicians here in Chicago, and we hunker down, put together the charts, learn the parts, and put it on stage. And
I
tell stories about the music.
Now, where does all this take place?
At various clubs around Chicago. Martyrs on Lincoln Avenue has been our home base for many years. We've been around since 2013, and they were kind enough to give us our start on a Monday night, and we've kind of built it up to where we can get a Friday or a Saturday now. We just recently played out at the Joliet Area Heritage Museum. No, sorry, Joliet Area Historical Museum.
Yeah.
They called us once for a rooftop concert there, and we sold the place out. 250 people or more came to see us do, I think it was the Beatles' White Album that particular time. And then we went back and did Jimi Hendrix. We've done Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti there. Just did Crosby, Stills, and Nash, their first album.
Where do you find the players and the singers?
You know, I started out with the Old Town School of Folk Music as one of the students there. And this whole idea was in part inspired by the Old Town School of Folk Music, just because you think the school, you think, oh, well, if I want to learn dulcimer or banjo, I know where to go. No, they teach you all sorts of stuff. I mean, they had classes in playing Rolling Stones songs and playing Nirvana songs and
really?
Various other things. So I started with a Van Morrison class, got in a Springsteen class, and took a few other things. And I kept noticing the instructors at Old Town School were so good. They did such a good job with these songs. I thought, well, what if we put together a show and you guys do the singing and I'll play bass and then I'll tell some stories about the music. And that led into the first concert, like I said, in 2013, and we've done, I don't know, 70, 80 albums since then.
Wow. You know, I've heard about the Old Town School of Music for decades. I've never heard before that they gave classes specific to an artist. Like, we're going to take a Springsteen class or a Van Morrison class. I've never heard that.
Yeah, well, I always thought they should publicize that a little better. But you know, because I think a lot of people would sign up. They'd say, wow, that'd be cool. I'm not involved with them at this moment, so I can't tell you where they are in terms of the lockdown, the pandemic.
Yeah.
So they may not have classes at the moment.
Yeah,
but that's how I got my start. And then it grew from there. I started doing shows, and I met somebody, and we needed a drummer for this, and I asked around and met somebody new, and then he knew a guitarist, 2081. And so it's kind of built into a nice little, well, I'm hoping it'll be a nice little retirement plan.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I mean, there's one thing.
It's a lot
one
of thing. Fun.
You know, that there are so many quote-unquote tribute bands with play-on-word names of the group that they're going
right.
to be performing, and they're everywhere. And they represent all different areas of musical history, but not like this. This is like, I'm really like blown away by this whole idea of getting together a group of musicians to do a specific artist's iconic album from beginning to end. I mean, that's a lot of music to learn.
It is. We did Michael Jackson's Thriller on one occasion. We did Joni Mitchell's Court and Spark. Like I said, Van Morrison, Moondance, and Astro Weeks. That's the thing. And I give really good musicians in town the opportunity to play something they never get a chance to do otherwise.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I'm an okay player on the bass. I'm not great. I can hold my own. But these are guys who are so much better than me. I don't know if I could start a band with them, but I can get them for a night. Because they'll say, wow, you want to do Joni Mitchell?
Hold on a second now. Just hold on. Just wait just a doggone minute here. What about rehearsal? What about learning, you know, the parts, the notes,
I
mean, you don't just say, hi, guys, let's do Born to Run. Hit it, you know.
Well, I'm the guy that sits down with my iPad and my little electronic keyboard, tries to figure out the charts, and I write everything down. I came up with a notation. I mean, I have a music background, so I could do your treble and bass clef, but most of the musicians I work with are skilled. I work with some guys who graduated from Juilliard, for example. But, you know, they play in pop bands. These are guys that get hired for the $10,000 weekend wedding gigs and corporate gigs.
Oh, yeah.
So I could get them on a weeknight, you know, and they'll bring their skills and pour it into one of these albums. So,
there must be a rehearsal time. I mean,
well, John, you reach me on an evening when I snuck away from the rehearsal. It's at my drummer's basement. I'm in his backyard right now, talking to you on my iPhone, because I was not going to miss this opportunity to chat with you.
What are you rehearsing right now?
Well, it's Elvis Costello. We're doing his first two albums, My Aim Is True and This Year's Model. We're going to be playing at the Horner Park Fieldhouse. We're playing at Horner Park, which is in Chicago, 2741 West Montrose.
Yeah.
But apparently it's like the Chicago Park District every year pays for some free concerts around the Chicago area. And we're launching the Horner Park series on Friday night. So we're doing the first two albums, plus a few Beatles songs we're throwing in as well, because Elvis got to start listening to the Beatles. Here we go. This is like the kind of story I'll tell about the show.
Yeah, please do.
About the artist, because Elvis grew up with a father who sang with a dance band. And we're talking, you know, 50s, early 60s. This is before rock and roll really took over, especially in England, because it had very limited outlets for rock and roll there. You know, it wasn't like we had a top 40 station or an AM station in England. It was much more limited. But anyway, his father would be in this dance band, and they had to learn all the new songs of the day. So his dad would come home with the latest Beatles single, among other things. And he'd play it and learn all the parts, and then he'd just toss it on the pile. One time, Elvis walked up to him and said, Dad, can I have that single? And his father just started giving it to him. And as Elvis tells the story later, he studied those songs and learned how to sing the harmonies. He didn't realize, because he was an only child, that not everyone could harmonize, that not everyone could hear pitches like he could. So he just thought everyone could do that. It wasn't a big thing. It was much later he realized, oh, my goodness, this was my training. This is where I learned music. And who better to learn from than Lennon, McCartney, and the rest of those guys?
Wow. Let's take a break. Can you tell us some more stories about...
I've got a story about Jimi Hendrix. If you know the song Wind Cries Mary, I've got a story that will blow you away.
Okay. The more the merrier. I'm ready to hear all the stories. Let's all sit down and listen to Lindsey Cochran tell us stories about cool music when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 847 with John Landecker, having a very interesting conversation with Lindsey Cochran, who has a project called Great Moments in Vinyl. And it takes the whole idea of a tribute experience to a, you know, just a completely different level, because they perform entire sides of iconic albums. And Lindsay also provides narration, stories. And,
Once upon a time, I did see I'm not going to name the name, but I saw a tribute band that came through town, and they played a note-perfect version of the Ziggy Stardust album, David Bowie's classic album.
Right.
And I just thought, you guys are just so good. They didn't say anything. Not even, hey, that was so-and-so on the guitar, or how are you feeling tonight, you know? They just played the music, note-perfect. And I thought to myself, I could be home listening to the record. What am I doing here? Yeah. So what I try to tell stories to bring people into the music. You know, you get a little idea of what was going through the artist's mind at the time, or the rest of the band, or what they were struggling with, what they were fighting with. You know, I think of Sinead O'Connor. You know, people vilify her for carrying up a picture of the Pope.
Right.
But you hear the story about that picture of the Pope. That was on her mother's bedroom wall. This is a woman who abused her daughter, would lock her in the closet for hours at a time, and various other ways mistreat her. And I think her parents finally got divorced. And if I recall my facts correctly, her father was the first man in Ireland to get custody of the kids. If you can imagine that, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine
that. Was not
that.
A thing that was happened.
I can imagine that. So you said you had a story about Jimi Hendrix and...
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Here's the sort of thing I would play, we would do. We would play the song that comes before it on the album, and I would just go into the story. It's about 40 seconds. Both of Jimi Hendrix's parents were drinkers. And when they got drunk, they would fight. Jimi was their firstborn. 6 years later, a brother arrived, and then the next three children were given up to foster care and adoption. And when Jimi was 9, his parents divorced, and his father was granted custody of his sons. It was during this time in grade school that young Jimi started carrying around a broom to simulate a guitar. He'd hoist it in his arms and pretend to play. Not just at home, but he carried the broom to school, too. A social worker at the school noticed this behavior and petitioned for funding for underprivileged children to purchase a guitar for him. She argued that the boy was clearly demonstrating an emotional need that a guitar would address. The school district disagreed. At age 15, Jimmy's mother, who had developed cirrhosis of the liver, died from a ruptured spleen. His father refused to take his sons to her funeral, instead insisted that they deal with the loss like, quote, real men, by drinking a shot of whiskey, which he then poured out for all three of them. A broom is drearily sweeping up the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping. Somewhere a king has no wife.
Wow. Woof.
Let me go into Wing Price Mary. I've never heard anyone make that connection before, but as reading the bio of Jimi, reading about his history, and I thought of those lyrics in that song, The Wind Cries Mary, I thought, oh my gosh, what else could he have been thinking about? I mean, it's that's the kind of impact I try to give with our stories.
Well, I've got some notes here, so I'm just going to loaf out some stuff at you. What was the song what was the song that saved U2's career?
Oh my God. One, wasn't it? I think they were working on what album was that? Octoon Baby. In Berlin, and they were just not coming up with anything they were happy about. And one day, one of the members, maybe it was Edge, just played the chords, and Bono started singing along. And they realized, hey, we do have a future.
If the Police started out as a punk band, where did all the reggae flavors come from?
Let's see here.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No. I'm recognizing these questions.
I would think so.
The punk music of the day, it was pretty brash. It was harsh. It was adrenalized. It was a lot of energy. It was a rocking evening. And when you were a DJ in a punk club, you just you couldn't pump that out all night. You couldn't go bang, 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 bang on the audience. You somehow sometimes had to pull it back. And what they did in the punk clubs is they threw on some reggae. So the Police started hearing that and realized, well, this is something we can adopt and make our own.
Boy, did they ever. I mean, I didn't even know the Police used to be a punk band until I got these notes from my producer. I didn't know they were a punk band. You know?
Listen to some of their early, the first album, there's some songs that are just, you know, straight 8 notes rocking out.
Wow. Incredible. So, do you... this performance of Elvis Costello Friday, July 23rd at Horner Park, 2741 yeah. West Montrose. But from what I gather in our conversation, you perform at various venues, usually on a Friday or a Saturday evening.
Well, we try to stay away from Saturdays. Like I mentioned, I got some good players. That's when they get booked for their weddings and other shows.
Right. Yeah.
So it tends to be Friday. We've done a lot of Thursdays at Martyrs. We actually have a date coming up at the Beverly Arts Center in September. Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run album will be
a tribute to that one. I've been to the Beverly Arts Center. Hold on, I'm writing this down. You're doing.
John, are you sitting down? We did Paul Simon's Graceland at the Beverly Arts Center.
Hold on a second. Yeah, well, I like Paul Simon, okay? I mean, you know what I mean? But Springsteen, hold on a second. Born to Run album is like, wow.
That's the iconic album.
Thunder Road and, Jungle Land. You guys do Jungle Land?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We did the entire River album once upon a time. And when we first did Born to Run, we paired it up with Wild the Innocent and the East Street Shuffle.
Okay,
so we got
Beverly
Rosalita
Arts Center.
In there, too.
Wait a minute. I'm making notes. Beverly Arts Center, what is the date? Sometime in September?
I want to say Friday the 23rd.
I'll check with
And them. Then, but here's the thing. We're taking that same show the next day on Saturday to the Downtown Joliet Festival that's taking place out there. So two chances to see that one.
Well, I'm much closer to the Beverly Arts Center than I am to Joliet. So
I'll get you some tickets. I know a guy.
The iconic Chicago line. Oh, yeah, I know a guy. How much are tickets?
Boy, I don't know. I signed a contract a while back, and I haven't looked at it again. So.
Well,
I don't want to quote a figure and be off. You know, I don't want to give people the wrong idea.
Right. Well, seeing the
When we officially announce it, it will be posted on our website, greatmomentsfinal.com, and on our Facebook page, and I'll send out an Instagram note, too. So,
wow. Who plays saxophone when you do that?
Oh, my gosh. I got a guy by the name of John Bowes, who's been around Chicago forever. He apparently, among many other things, backed up Aretha when she made an appearance on Oprah many years back.
Wow.
But John plays Aretha. He's been with us many times. When we did the Paul Simon show, he roped in a trumpet player he knew by the name of, I forgot his last name, Iron Mike is what people call him, but he used to play with Tower of Power. So we got those high notes nailed.
Tower of Power, no kidding. Man.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, that's some heavy-duty musicianship right there.
Well, like I said, I give these musicians an opportunity to do something they wouldn't normally get to do. You know,
Let me tell you what is hip.
Man. I know. Oh, my God. The ending of that song, My Little Town, the horns are really screaming. Or when we did You Can Call Me Al, you know. Da, 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 da.
You know the, I'll throw a little trivia in. You know the Jefferson Starship song called Jane?
Yes. You did Tower that one, didn't you?
Oh, my God. You know too much. I did a parody of it, with the original producer and the original tracks, but it's the Tower of Power who play horns on that cut.
Oh, nice! But I would have to if I was including it in the show.
So. Well, thanks, Lindsay, for being with us. It's Great Moments in Vinyl. They're going to be doing Elvis Costello, My Name Is True, Friday, July 23rd, from 7 to 9 at the Horner Park, 2741 West Montrose in Chicago, and be sure to be checking out the website greatmomentsinvinyl.com. Hey, it's been great talking.
Let me leave you with a very quick quote from Elvis Costello from his memoir. He said, "I've absorbed almost everything I know from listening to records. The rest came from trial and error."
Yeah.
Bravo, Elvis.
Hey, by the way, have you seen any of that McCartney 3-2-1 on Hulu?
No, I'm not. Is it recommended?
Oh, my God, yeah. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, okay. How about Summer of Soul?
I saw that, too. It's awesome.
It is. John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you so much. Thanks for being with us.